email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Frankie in Cork, Summer in Dublin, he says, love the hills of Donegal, says Peter, and there's loads more, and we'll get to those in a moment. Now, a new opinion poll shows that 85% of Greenlanders do not want their island to become a part of the United States. Since his re-election, President Donald Trump has reiterated his interest in taking control of the semi-autonomous Danish territory. I'll say that again, semi-autonomous Danish territory. Speaking on board Air Force One at the weekend, Donald Trump said, I think we're going to have it. Shona Murray is Europe correspondent with Euronews, and Shona is in Nuuk in Greenland. Good afternoon, Shona.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking our call.
Okay.
So you've been speaking to people on the ground in Greenland, in Nuuk. What are they saying to you?
Well, obviously, I've been asking pretty much the same question in relation to the poll. One thing that really sticks out when you talk to them about the potential of an American influence over a Danish influence here is, what would the implications be for people on the ground in terms of healthcare, in terms of university and so on? And every single I don't ask this at all, but it's what people bring up constantly, that what would we would be in serious trouble because there's no healthcare in the US and we don't pay for healthcare here. And normally here in Greenland, there's one university. So most people go to Denmark for university. But again, it's free third level education. That's impossible, as we know, in the United States. So people think about their day to day lives and the implications for it. Now, in relation to American citizenship, nobody believes that that would happen. But they also say, well, look, we are semi-autonomous, but we would prefer to be Greenlanders rather than Danish. So, for example, people here don't have Greenland passports. They have Danish passports. Right. And so there is a really strong independence movement to move away from Greenland, but definitely not to the United States, and certainly not in the way that Donald Trump is sort of implicating he may take over Greenland in some sort of a, you know, land takeover, whether by economic or military means. Obviously, nobody would welcome that. But I think when you look at that poll today that you mentioned there, where 85% don't want to be part of the US, further down, it's 50-50 in relation to whether Donald Trump's resurgent interest in Greenland could be helpful. Not that they want, again, to be members of the United States, but that they could gain leverage from Denmark to get a little bit more independence, or that it would be that he could do a deal with the United States to have more military structure or more trade with the United States.
Yeah, there's 57,000 Greenlanders. So it's a sort of a city in Ireland, I suppose, same population. So it's no longer a joke, people are saying, that when Trump sort of mentioned this first, people thought he was just throwing out something to get attention. But there's a lot of talk around Europe now and they're taking him seriously.
Yeah, hugely. I mean, it's really problematic in Brussels. Mette Frederiksen, the Prime Minister of Denmark, spent the last couple of days with Mark Rutte, the Secretary General of NATO, with Scholz in Germany, with Macron in France, speaking to the British, trying to garner to support to ensure that the Allies will stay behind Denmark. If Trump did make good on his word to take over Greenland, and what does that mean? Is that like a territorial conquest? Is that comparable to what Putin is doing to Ukraine? I mean, I know this sounds sort of extremely far-fetched, but nobody really understands what he means. And also you have this added complication because Denmark is in NATO and the US is obviously in NATO. And the whole idea of NATO, the one main backbone and idea of NATO is collective security, after or during the Cold War. So if one country in NATO, it's obviously unprecedented, threatens or it does act to take over another, albeit autonomous region of another country, then collective security is gone, doesn't exist anymore. So it's hugely problematic, yeah.
And there's another angle to this as well. I was reading over the weekend in one of the English papers that there was a 1917 treaty, which, if it's going to the letter of the treaty, would give the UK first refusal if Greenland was on the table.
I mean, trust the British newspaper to come up with that, to resurface this in the middle of it all. Actually, I think it's ours. But I think that's in relation to, because the British government at the time was governing Canada, and it was involved in those talks between the US and Denmark, because obviously Greenland is so close to Canada. So the agreement was that that the British could have a say in it because it was the country that controlled Canada back in the day. But I don't think Keir Starmer is in any mood to try to take on Trump to say, actually, hands up, this is ours. Because actually, interesting enough, you don't see the British coming out defending Denmark. They're pretty quiet. I think this is actually the big problem. there's so much nerves around how dangerous Donald Trump is for the multilateral system, for Europe at the moment. And everybody's kind of scared to say anything too confrontational because his language is so belligerent at the moment.
Yeah. And the fact that it was in that treaty in 1917 suggests that it's important geopolitically, because that's what Donald Trump is saying, that if somebody was trying to get at us, they might come through Greenland, and that's why he wants to control it.
Yeah, and then also there's this resurgent Russian and Chinese influence in this area. Also in the Baltic Sea, we see Russian submarines. They've seen attacks by Russia and China, but mainly Russia on critical infrastructure. So the idea is to ensure that they don't sort of make a strong presence right. in the area to protect U.S. security. But all in, on top of that, you have rare earth minerals that are really important to making TVs and mobile phones and so on. That's really important for the future. That's something that China normally supplies. But obviously we have such a geopolitical problems at the moment that Greenland could supply for the West or for the United States even more so. You also have the potential of new global shipping routes opening up as a sad result of global warming. Yeah. So it is hugely advantageous.
And before we let you go, Shona, what's it like? Have you been there before, Greenland?
No, I mean, why would you ever come to Greenland? I don't mean like that, because it's absolutely beautiful, but you'd never have an opportunity to come here. And, I'm so glad to be here and to speak to amazing people. But it's beautiful. It's very snowing, would you believe?
Right.
It's -3 degrees, which is actually more like -13, because it's actually very heavy wind at the moment. But there's beautiful, brightly coloured wood buildings, flat. And there's also, it's one of the only places in the world that has physical evidence of the Ice Age through an ice fjord. I haven't seen that yet, but it's extremely beautiful, and it's obviously lovely people, and just really welcoming as well. Because one thing I would say is, I'm here now, and the place is full of foreign correspondents and journalists trying to find out what's happening. Right. So they're inundated with us asking all the same questions.
Yeah, just to remind people, an opinion poll says 85% of Greenlanders do not want their island to become part of the United States. I think Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller was shot up there, part of it, just if you want to have a look at that in your hotel room tonight.
Okay.
you'll see where you need to go.
Definitely.
As a tourist. Thanks, Shona. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye now.
Care.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.